You are listening to Cultivating Indigenous Voices from KXEI Tucson, hosted and produced by Tina Andrew. Today's guest I have with me, Andrew, who is from the Akamird Otthum community, also known as the Hilla River Indian community, based out of Sacaton, Arizona. In March of 2023 is the last time I sat down with him, and we had a conversation about metal music, not just the genre, but how it relates and connects to our own communities, tribal communities, and why it's important and what it makes us feel. So I'm going to give him a chance to introduce himself. Thanks for coming.
Hello. Shamai Masama, Wese Jamwe. How are you all doing, everybody? Ani Ot Andrew, Chawat Akimar Otam, Hanyanap Amajit Kaya Akimar. So I'm from the Gila River Indian community. I've known Tina for some years now, and she's done an excellent job at doing these interviews and podcasts, which has been a great outlet for us to clarify our message over the years, which we have had some hiccups.
Yeah, so going back to our last conversation, I last sat down with you in March of 2023, and we were talking about Vine Lumpias, which is kind of like metal party or metal gathering or dance or something like that. And you were organizing an event, and unfortunately it got shut down real quick. And then being here in Tucson and knowing some folks locally, I shared an idea with a couple of music folks here in Tucson about bringing native metal here. And I knew just the person who'd be great in helping organize that. And of course, I thought of you. And so since then, you've been organizing the Indigenous Takeover. So before we get to what that is, going back to 2023 and seeing where Vine Lumpias made it to Tucson, like, how did Vine Lumpias even start?
Well, like you said, Vine Lumpias, meaning metal fest, metal party. I just use it as metal show, where we were bringing out bands that play more or less on the extreme side of stuff, whether that be punk music, metal music, hardcore, whatever it may be. We just kind of threw it all under the same thing. And we were using the Murchita, the local fair that happens in Gila River, for that. Unfortunately, yes, we did get kicked out of the fair due to profanity, we'll say, and kind of mixed emotions and mixed views all around about the type of music they were playing. Fast forward, we get kicked out. We still play a show, and we go back to our DIY roots, and we have it in the desert, just at somebody's house like we always used to. And it still happened, and that's the last time we talked in 2023. But since then, this idea of having like native or indigenous metal bands, punk bands, whatever it may be, to coming to Tucson has been a eye-opening experience, I'll say the least. making those connections, right? Like, from me to you, knowing each other for some time, and then you reaching out to having this idea of bringing these bands out here to Tucson in the city, because we know each other, right? Like, yeah. Like it's an organic like connection you have to people when you actually sit down and talk with them, yeah, rather than, you know, just being,
yeah, just on like the phone business.
And, yeah, you know yeah, like it's not like that, yeah, right? Like, yeah, like, we haven't done interviews just about music. We've done some other stuff too. So yeah. I mean, like, that's kind of like, I feel, with the difference here. Mm-hmm. So transitioning to coming to Tucson, essentially, which I've still done shows in Phoenix and mm-hmm, other places, but predominantly right now, I am more focused on working with Rialto and 191 Tool. Mm-hmm. But that transition was like super smooth. Super smooth. I cannot like stress that enough. The people we have worked with over there have been some of the nicest people.
Awesome.
And some of the best sound.
You know, when I sat down with the music folks that I know here, and they were asking a group of us, like, what ideas do you have? What kind of music or what's not being featured around here, and I immediately thought of like what you were already doing with Vinlampiast, more in like the Hilo River, Phoenix area. And, you know, being that we had already had conversations about, you know, what had happened and how you just kept pushing forward with the DIY shows. And I thought, you know, this could be really cool to bring that scene right here to Tucson as well. And this could be a way for that to happen. And now it happened. When was the first show? It's been like 2 years, I think.
It's been about 2 years for sure. Well, you know what? I think it was 2023. But maybe it was later.
The end of the year.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was right after the Vinlampiast getting kicked out to then where, you know, it happened. So we talked about it mm-hmm. back then. And then this new opportunity kind of arose. And we were like, okay, let's just do it. Like right now. Right? Like, and then it happened a couple months later.
Cool. But yeah, so that's just amazing. Like Rez metal and just what it means, this particular genre. So for those folks who maybe don't understand this type of music and maybe feel afraid or, you know, whatever that is, right? How do you explain your love or even with this whole community's love for this music and kind of breaking down those stereotypes?
That's a tough one. I will say that I don't really get asked that much. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the way I guess I wouldn't necessarily go about that question, like, how do you explain it, is just through doing it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if somebody has an issue and then it's like, well, come watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, then just come, because you've never seen it in the first place. This is just what you see and what you've been conditioned to, like, believe about a certain specific thing. Like, you know, like anything. And so it's like, well, just go. And if you don't want to go, I personally am not going to waste my time like trying to explain something at a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then while I could be encouraging some new kids to be playing, right?
Yeah.
And like doing work to actually do it rather than mm-hmm. arguing online or something, right?
Yeah.
like I don't want to do that. I just want to do the work about it. Like, how do we kind of talk about these things? Well, like right now.
Yeah.
Right. Like this interview is that way, because mm-hmm. I'd rather have a real conversation about something that mm-hmm. matters rather than directing it at specific people.
Yeah. And it's not that people are violent or anything, even though it may kind of look that way on the outside. You know, I'm bringing my nephew to these shows, the Indigenous Takeover shows. It's just, he's learning. It's a new experience for him. Even him standing, like, when the pit's going on and he's got pushed around a little bit, you know, he's kind of, like, learning of, like, even with that, like, it's nothing bad. They're not trying to fight you. Everybody's just having a good time.
For sure.
And he enjoys that, you know, and it's just kind of like everybody can go out there and either take part in being involved with that or just on the outskirts, which probably is more me on the side and in the back.
Oh, yeah.
But it is fun. I enjoy those shows.
Yeah, like it has been interesting that a lot of friends who just kind of I know,
mm-hmm.
you know, who aren't necessarily into metal, into punk rock or something like that, but like they still go and they're like, oh yeah, no, I had a good time.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's different.
Mm-hmm.
But like everyone is just having fun.
Yeah.
You know, like that. I don't know. You're not, generally, no one's trying to hurt you. Okay. One huge accomplishment, because it happens not just in metal. It happens literally every other show, but huge accomplishment. We have had one semi-fight in an entire year. Huge accomplishment.
So can you explain a little bit more? Well, what is Indigenous Takeover and how did you come up with the idea of, like, you know, with even with the name itself, and what was your main goal with organizing these types of shows?
So I've been asked that before. This guy is I met. He happens to be writing a book about, like, Native bands, Indigenous bands,
okay.
who happen to be from Poland.
Wow.
Yeah, interesting.
Dang.
Interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's just kind of the side note, my
mm-hmm.
my backstory in that this scenario. And so he asked, like, what's with the name? right? He's like, I know and I'm familiar with your shows, but what's with the name? Because he admits, he's like, your title is a little more upfront than you would see elsewhere.
Hmm.
Like in the regards to his take was, yeah. I see other like metal shows and it just says Metal Fest 2020 something, you know,
yeah.
Or Native Night or something, right? Like,
yeah, Native yeah. Night.
And so that was the thing of him noticing, like, well, what's with that? Like, yours isn't necessarily like that. And I was like, well, my roots of music for sure is like in punk rock music, and my own self been involved in like various community organizing and particularly with like indigenous issues that happen everywhere, right? Yeah. I mean, they happen everywhere. So because of that, I always feel that it's necessary, especially when you move outside of a place that you're used to push that conversation, right? That, well, let me step back just to make the point of like, at home where I'm from, Gila River, the show I was putting on was Vinam Piast, because I want to incorporate all the myok everywhere I can. I'm not a fluent speaker. A lot of kids aren't either, but like that introduces them to two new words that they didn't know before, right? Or maybe they are, and then they kind of have more of a positive reinforcement of language. So that's the point there, right? Going to the city, and it's different because I'm like, I'm in a sense, I'm trying to have other bands come, yeah, not just particularly Autumn bands to play to Autumn kids, right? But like, this is a broader thing. So because it's a broader thing, like always trying to acknowledge like Tucson as, you know, Chukchon or that, you know, this area would be Tono Autumn homelands, territories.
Mm-hmm.
Because myself as Akimura Autumn, I'm not Tono Autumn, right? Like just to acknowledge the things. So with calling it Indigenous Takeover, it's more like saying, you know, take things back, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not...
taking the space back, kind
of? Taking the space back, right? Like,
yeah.
Like I have a lot of criticisms of social movements and things. And so with music in particular, I guess is where I find myself able to do more and have that connection with other people because I also play music. So having it being the takeover and we're inviting all these bands, the reason I framed it that way is so that a lot of these younger musicians, but also like younger concert goers who are indigenous kids, native kids, go out and they can see like, this is our space right now.
Yeah.
Like there's so many, like there's so many kids who go, it's great. You know, I think it's awesome, but like showing them like you can do these kind of things, right?
Yeah.
Like you can be pushed to do these kind of things. It's not impossible for you to get out there. Because I mean, as a guy who used to play in the desert, I used to play my drums in my friend's backyard, like by the ditch, because it's the only place that was like quiet, like away enough to where no one would call the cops on me. Like, I know what it's like going from that then to like having to play on a stage.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's a totally different world. I could definitely hear a lot of people's cynicism and kind of doubting themselves about like, well, I don't know, it's whatever. I'm just jamming. And I'm like, yeah, but you could jam up there.
Yeah.
You know, you can jam wherever you want. Mm-hmm. Still be you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like there's this inherent pressure to be, I don't know, to be more white, you know, to be more acceptable to when you're out in the city, you're more, you need to be a certain way or something, right? And like, that could be an older generational thing, but I mean, like now it's like, no, it's not like that. We can do whatever we want and we can be whoever we want, like anywhere. We can be ourselves all the time. For myself, I think of saying like, I can be in awe of them all the time. Like it doesn't matter where I go. It doesn't matter like the shirt I'm wearing, right? or how I look or anything, you know, I am in awe of them all the time. It doesn't matter what I'm listening to or what. And it's just how it is. I hope that somewhat answers the question.
Yes, it does. For sure. I mean, now, yeah, totally. you know, the music, it's bigger than the music, I feel like, because it's displaying, you know, what we're capable of doing. And just what I mentioned earlier about my nephew, bringing him in, and it's his first time being at a metal show, was at Indigenous Takeover, and he's excited about it. He's loving the merch and the music, and he looks forward to it every time, you know, and he's like 14 years old, you know.
I think the part that is really, like, touching, I guess, is to see the amount of young kids who are, like, throwing down. I started going to, like, DIY shows when I was, like, 11 or 12, mm-hmm. you know? So I was also a little kid, like, running around. So it's just fun to see, you know, them just having a good time. And yeah. again, just being themselves. They don't have to, I guess, be any different. So the first Takeover show was amazing. Yeah. Oh, my God. I think we had over, I remember it was over 350 something, maybe higher, but like, but it did really good. You know, we had a good list of bands playing and
good food.
Good food. I don't want to forget our food guys. Our food yeah. guys are always killing it outside.
Yeah. Shout out to Reservation Sensation.
Oh, yeah. They have been extremely helpful, and they're always down. Mm-hmm. They're always down.
Cool.
The shows, though, I mean, the shows themselves have been pretty good. Pretty good. We've had some little ups and downs with bands, but that's kind of the nature of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I wanted to touch on as I was coming here and thinking about this is, like, bands. And like I said, I feel like I've been there as well, where it's like bands do have sometimes this cynicism of, like, I can't. It's easier to just play on the res or stay on the res rather than go out, and, like, it's hard to find shows. So, like, this gives them also that opportunity. Like, I definitely try to focus on newer bands rather than more established bands who have already been playing for a long time. I tried not to repeat bands, even though we definitely have. And then have them, you know, keep playing, having new bands keep playing. And so establishing the Takeover to be a space where it's not condescending to be who you are, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think is, like, super important because, mm-hmm. you know, I am gearing it towards
yeah.
other Native peoples and other yeah. Native kids. Mm-hmm. Like, that is, I guess, the goal in that sense. Again, I'm not saying don't go, yeah, be mm-hmm. supportive just because you like metal,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I definitely feel it's important to sometimes take away a lot of the label on it, where yeah. where sometimes I feel like we definitely get caught up in our labels of saying, even just like the term res metal, right? Like,
yeah.
sometimes I think, like, what makes it any different than, you know, is there regular metal? Is there town metal? You know, it's not. Because you're just as good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like sometimes as like Native peoples, especially those of us who come from the res or live on the res, will sometimes use it as kind of like our backdrop of saying, like, it's just res metal or it's just a res band, you know? And
yeah.
it's kind of like self-deprecating. And I'm like,
yeah.
well, no, you're just as good. Because mm-hmm. there's plenty of bands in the town that suck too. and even if you do suck, like, you need that opportunity to get better, right? Like, you're
yes.
not, you're never going to get it if you just keep that pushing yourself down. Yeah,
something.
That mentality.
Yeah.
So I do feel like, and that's why I didn't want to use, like, Res Fest or something like that, right?
Oh,
like,
okay. yeah.
And is just owning who you are mm-hmm. as, like, oh, I'm an Indigenous person and this mm-hmm. is our Takeover, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is not the res.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the res, right? Not to say everybody knows what the res is like, but those of us who do, it's like,
mm-hmm.
this ain't the res, man. which is not bad. It's not
yeah.
good. That's just what it is,
yeah.
right? But I definitely wanted to, like, establish that to be known, I guess,
mm-hmm.
of having that conversation of, we can do whatever we want. You can be yourself, and
we're just as good.
And we're just as good. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, thank you so much. Yeah, that's and it's cool that it's in all ages. That's another thing I love about the shows, is that it's all ages and anyone can go. I've seen little tiny kids on the shoulders of their parents, you know, watching everything, watching someone get crowd surfed.
Oh yeah, yeah, those are good times. Yeah, I definitely want to keep things all ages and as cheap as possible. There are so many tangents we can go off of on why I feel this event is important to Native communities, or why events like this are important to Native communities. And that being one of them, right, where it's, especially with kids want to go. I don't know, I just think of like my upbringing. I was like, I want to go to town. But we weren't allowed to go to town. And
there wasn't enough room.
Yeah, there's no room in the truck. And then, so you didn't go. And, you know, and then even now, you know, it's no different. You know, I feel like some things just don't really change at times. And it's like giving that opportunity for younger folks, younger kids, younger adults, whoever it is, to have that opportunity, because like things are expensive. All of us have other lives. Just because we live on the res don't make it free. Yeah. You know, like, it might be cheaper at some times in some other areas, but you know what? We had to drive an hour to get to town. You know, that's gas money. This is car money, whatever it may be. You know, like, this, all the reasons. And having that, like, all-ages space, where in some places, you know, like, I don't really like bars. Mm-hmm. And that being one of them, why this is kind of like, I want to make sure it's all ages, because so many communities are suffering from alcohol addiction and drug addiction, and getting away from those kind of things where that's all it is, mm-hmm. right? Like, I've played 21 and over shows for my own bands, that sometimes it's just what the people who are putting on the shows, they do. But again, I'm a little older, so I think I can cope with my own mm-hmm. upbringing, you know? But there, I'm sure, you know, there's times where you go out into the city and you're expecting something different, and then you have, you know, I've been going to shows for a while, and you have some drunk guy just like hanging on you, and it's like get off me, this is gross. And so like keeping that all ages and making like a larger all ages space for sure is important in this regard, to give those people like that time away, the space, and making them feel comfortable.
I mean, it's just awesome that folks get to experience that here, because again, there was just no place or space in Tucson. There are a lot of different natives that live here, and they don't always get a chance to go back to the res and, you know, go see a show or something like that. But the fact that we have something now here in Tucson that kind of pops up every now and then is cool.
I like shows. I like things loud and somewhat aggressive at times, and I don't want to have things watered down. And having that voice again, having it be this non-condescending, this is being put on, because it's, you know, I have help at the same time. I may do the organizing and talking and a lot of it, but we have plenty of help, right? Like, it's not just me, it's the bands playing, you know, it's the people going to shows and passing out flyers and posting it and doing all that stuff, social media stuff. And having that understanding that like Indigenous people are the ones who are putting this on. Again, this isn't your museum, this isn't your art market in Scottsdale or whatever, you know, this is something that is being put on by other Indigenous people.
Yeah, and I think you've, especially here, have really just kind of helped highlight what bands are out there and of all different ages as well, which has been pretty cool when it comes to this show, the Indigenous Takeover show. So that's been really cool for me to even learn about where these bands come from and the type of music that they do play. So that's been fun.
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely had like a big range of kind of styles that we've been putting on. Sure, we can say like metal, but I mean, it's, you know, all the nerds will probably get pissed off and you know, it's hardcore, it's punk or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. but it's definitely like a large range of bands. I mean, we've had bands from New Mexico coming down. We have had some bands from LA. Nut, great punk band, they're awesome. I think the last show, you know, I'm blanking out on so many bands. I mean, there's so many bands at this point.
Dogyard.
Oh, yes, hey, Dogyard.
That was amazing.
It's great to see, and this is just, you know, for me personally, but, like, it is great to see, like, Autumn Kids playing in bands. Dogyard being one of them. Great band. Thumju playing their very first show at the Takeover, the first one. Coming up in November, we have Gunpoint, who's another band from the Donal Autumn Nation. Like, these bands are awesome. And mostly because, like, as a person who's been playing shows, you know, what other bands are there? When I was growing up, you know, like, there was a metal show every so many years on the res.
Yeah.
And it'd be, most of them weren't from the res, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there was a couple, but not many. Yeah. Not many get to make it out, I guess, as being as in public or as bigger shows go on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 6 Million Dead has been doing really good for themselves. They've played our shows, I believe, once or twice. We have Suspended coming in November. Another good band from New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So there's bands from all over. Like, right, we've had bands, Denea bands from San Carlos Apache, mm-hmm. Donal Autumn Nation, myself, I'm from Hill River. I've played my own shows too. I'm guilty of that. Akchin and the Yaki down here, you know, and like those, all these bands. And it's interesting to see that. Let me backtrack 1 second, because one thing about the Takeover shows is that what I see happen with a lot of shows at times is with the native metal scene, I do feel like there's an emphasis on an all native band, right? Like, everybody's gotta be one of them. For myself, I don't do that. Like, if I'm doing the booking for the show, then I look for bands who also just have, you know, indigenous members, because I definitely feel like that's a story to be told, right? Like, that's a story to be told, that some people may be, you know, more disconnected than others, but still identify themselves as indigenous people because they know their roots. And for, I feel like for so many people, again, we can go off of so many things, right? Like, in my mind, I'm thinking, like, okay, Blood Quantum's an issue, and people like to talk about that a lot. And that's one of them, right? This is mm-hmm. a part of that story where it's like you could have indigenous people playing in bands, and you would never know it,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, their roots could be Autumn roots. It could be Yaqui roots or something from this area. But, you know, they don't meet it, so maybe they're not a tribal member necessarily, but they still have their family. And to my knowledge, you know, that's how we roll, you know? Like, if you know your roots, you know your roots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, so also giving that opportunity in that space, right? Like, it's not about how much you know, but, you know where you come from. You know your roots. Mm-hmm. And allowing that to kind of take place. Because there's so many bands, right? And it's not something that people put out there, mm-hmm. right? Like, even myself, like, in one of my bands, Serramented, two of us are Autumn, but we don't label it like Autumn metal or something like that, right? Like, we're just playing. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, like, our upbringing, our background, like, plays a role in our music, mm-hmm. but it's not something we just throw out there like that. And there's, I find that in a lot of bands, so I feel like it's still important to include a lot of that in there, because again, it's another story to be told, right? It's another perspective to be shared, especially coming from indigenous people.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Andrew, for coming, making your way here to Strixon and talking about Indigenous Takeover. So tell us, when is the next one?
Next Takeover show. Indigenous Takeover at 191 Tool, November 14th. This next Takeover show, we got Suspended coming from Albuquerque, New Mexico, Forgotten Graves from San Carlos, Guillotine from Phoenix, and Gunpoint from the Donal Autumn Nation.
Cool. That's another thing with Indigenous Takeover. Your new bands that are just starting, it's become an opportunity where they can play. Cool. All right. Well, as we close out this interview, is there any last comments, shout outs that you want to give?
Well, the staff at 191 Tool is great. The social media for Indigenous Takeover, it's got the same name as on anything.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with me at KXCI. And of course, I look forward to the next show.
Cool. See you.
You are tuned in to Cultivating Indigenous Voices from KXCI Tucson, hosted and produced by Tina Andrew, featuring Andrew Pedro of the Akamard Otham community, and who is the show promoter for the Indigenous Takeover Metal Music Show.